Just want you to know, I'm really blessed. I'm waiting for Ben. Sarah just posted, oh, that's really good, Sean. So she didn't write anything. But Ben has been with Bash for 4 days, so I wasn't expecting him to answer. I did have him on Thursday for the first time. It was a little disconcerting because I don't know him as well as I know the other grandkids. It was the first time I was alone with him, so it was a little strange. But cute. He's cute. He's really cute. And Ben is having a good time with them. And Elaine is rushing home every night to catch him before he goes to bed. She's in training. So I do want to ask you to pray with me that she gets a line. So just pray. I'm not going to go through a whole big thing. Lord, we just stand together as the body of Christ at RCF. We pray that Elaine will get a line after this training. I think tomorrow's the last day. I pray, Lord God, that you will give her a line and a position so that she will be able to most effectively take care of her son and also continue to work as an airline. I always say airline stewardess, but whatever. Flight attendant. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. See if we agree in the reality of what we know, coming into the presence of the King, asking, I mean, is that a selfish prayer? No. I'm asking for my grandson and my son. So why would it not be on God's heart for her to be able to take care of her son as much as she can? The name of this message is Fall Forward. Do we have the notes? I hope. Okay. Fall Forward. He gave it to me, just dropped it into my heart. I said, okay, what does that mean? Well, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. Don't go back. Fall forward. But it really has to do with falling on your knees in worship and letting God do what he wants to do. The great I Am is present. We have a place to rest in the shadow of his palm. We can abide under the shadow of his wings, and he is preserving a remnant. This church is creating a space for the remnant to be matured. So those of you who are here that have come into this teaching and are accepting and receiving what we're sharing with you are part of the remnant. People who have left, or it doesn't mean that they're not, but they're not any longer under this headship and this training. So they may or they may not go to another place. There are pockets of people all over the world that are hearing what we're hearing. I cannot tell you how many affirmations and confirmations from different saints and people that I know who are hearing the same thing. And one of my favorite authors, James Maloney, his book Overwhelmed by the Spirit is specifically addressing exactly this issue. And a lot of what I'm sharing here is from his notes in his book. Well worth, excellent read. So fall forward and worship God. You have to fall on the mercy and the grace of God. We can't do this. But there is a holy intruder. There's a holy helper that God has placed inside of us when we come into the name of, into the understanding and are saved. We are always continually being saved. It doesn't end. Whenever people think that it ends, it's always growing, always a progression. So Pastor Roy and I are set on a path, and we are going to remain on the path and continue until we are manifesting Jesus in the fullness as a son and a daughter of the living God. And that's what we are purporting here to share and pour into your lives. This is a place where you can go. We are going there, and you can go there. I'm telling you that it is in the reality of the living spirit of the kingdom for us to manifest Jesus in his fullness. Father says to us in Isaiah 43:1-13, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. Indeed, before the day was, I am he. And there is no one who can deliver out of my hand. I work, and who will reverse it? What a promise. What a promise. I work, and who will reverse it? No one. Fall forward and worship God. God gave me a number of words describing himself. Do you have that? I want you to stand up and say these out loud with me together, because we are declaring who God is together, who he is, what he's doing. That's a little hard to... Can't make it dark, the print? Well, too late now, but can you see it? Okay. I'm going to read mine. He is our refuge. He is our fortress. He is our shield. He is our comforter. He is our strong tower. He is our strength. He is our healer. He is our provider. He is our savior. He is our courage. He is our resting place. He is our guide. He is our destiny. He is our counselor. He is our counselor. He is our confidence. He is our place of safety. He is our champion. He is the Lion of Judah. He is the Good Shepherd. He is our loving chastener. He is our loving chastener. He's our deliverer. He is our peace. He is the God of breakthrough. He is our miracle worker. He is our God who answers prayer. He is our conqueror. He is our overcomer. He is our victor. He is our loader of daily benefits. He is our author and finisher of our faith. He is our God of favor and blessing. He is our holy helper. He is omniscient, omnipresent, omnipotent. He is worthy of all our praise. He is worthy of all of our worship. Fall forward and worship Jesus. Fall forward and worship God. Fall forward and yield to the Holy Helper. Amen. Amen. You should be jumping up and down and shouting after that. Hallelujah. That's just a little bit. That's the God that we believe in. That's a little bit about who he is. The book. The Bible shares everything about him. Hebrews 3, I mean, this is the God that we have put our faith in. Pretty amazing, isn't it? Hebrews 11 begins with, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Those things that are not seen is what is in the secret place, what we are hearing, what we are seeing in the supernatural realm of the kingdom, which is in us, right? Is the kingdom in us? Yes. When we said yes to Jesus, he came in and took over. And he planted the Holy Spirit, and he is our helper. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith, what we believe in, is a form of divine thought. So we do have to take authority over those thoughts that are not divine, right? That's our flesh. The Lord says, no flesh glory in his presence. You read in 1 Corinthians, I think it's 9, it talks about the weak things and the base things that God is using. That's us. Not him. It's us. But he has done that purposely so that no flesh will glory in his presence. He's the one that comes in and lives in this earthen vessel, in this clay jar. He's the one that comes in and pours himself into me and healed me this morning. I didn't really care. I was coming anyway. But he healed me so that I could speak and preach and sing and worship and be healed. So I'm grateful. The faith that we have in the Lord, that faith is what connects us to God. It's what connects us to the kingdom. However, our walk is not only about faith, is it? Faith should cause us to set our affections above, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God, our creator, the Ancient of Days. He is up there interceding. He ever lives to make intercession. So we have a head up, don't we? We have a heads up that Jesus is always praying for us, always interceding for us, always standing in front of the Father and saying, I did it for her. I did it for them. This is your children, your creation. These are the ones you gave me. You read the book of John. These are the ones you gave me. And they are doing well, and they're going to continue to do well because I left the Holy Spirit. That's what he said on the day of Pentecost. Wait for the presence of the Holy Spirit. It's not really about speaking in tongues. It's about the presence of God, the Holy Spirit himself, who is in our hearts. James Maloney calls him the divine intruder. Well, I have a little problem with that myself, but I start laughing when I think about what he's saying. Because doesn't the Holy Spirit come in and intrude sometimes on our thinking and our way of doing things and our, you know, what we think is God and what isn't? He comes in and goes, no, it's the Spirit of truth. No, this is what it is. And, you know, he's the one that makes a little pricklies here and there. He's very aggressive. He is the dove. Yes, he is. Pastor Roy's been speaking about that, so we hear and listen to what. But he's also very aggressive. He's also the all-powerful, mighty rushing wind that came in on Pentecost and displayed the power and the anointing of his presence over the disciples and them having waited and said yes and coming into them and creating power. Peter was completely changed and brought 3,000 souls. So I love what I'm hearing, Dave and Dawn. I love what I'm hearing, Rudy and Liz. I love what I'm hearing, Pat. I love that I'm hearing that God is using you, which is our desire and our heart, to impact the world around you. Amen. God speaks loudly in 2 Peter 1, 5, and 6. Add to your faith virtue. Add to your virtue knowledge. It's a progression. Add to your knowledge temperance or self-control. And add to temperance or self-control patience. It's very funny that patience is the end. Patience. What is the patient person who is waiting on God for him to do whatever it is? We need these other qualities so that we don't become self-centered and unbalanced. The only way we can respond when we get into a place of trouble or distress or in a good place, because sometimes we're in a good place, we need to remember to fall forward when things are going well too. Because we can forget the God of all flesh. We can forget that it's God and take it on ourselves. Well, we did it. No. The only way we can respond, I said that already. So we need to fall on our knees worshiping the living, breathing God. God told me to breathe in his DNA. So I did. In my nostrils, he just cleared everything away. And then he said, open your mouth wide and I will fill it. So I opened my mouth and he went into my throat and the back of my teeth. And he opened everything up, took all the pain, just took it away. I had this thing a couple weeks ago, and it lasted like 5 days. I said, oh, no. You see, because once you have walked in some kind of infirmity, and I mean infirmity singular, meaning everything, and you have authority over it, and you have overcome it with the blood, then the next time it comes, it can't stay. Because we say no, right? We say no anyway, but we can say no with power because we've already overcome it. So we say no. No. We need to have our hearts filled with thanksgiving and praise. I was reading an article by Graham Cook, who I happen to love. He said, I think I put it on Facebook. Rejoicing in true thanksgiving produces peace and rest. Giving thanks from the heart will always overpower anything negative and changes our internal atmosphere permanently, as well as our lifestyle. So there's a lot to be said about thanksgiving and praise. I don't know who I was talking to. Oh, it was Patty. When I quit smoking, I read a book by Merlin Carruthers called The Power in Praise. So I was very much challenged by the book and said, oh my God, God was in prison and he's praising and here I am. Can't get over smoking. So I stopped. I said, Lord, you're going to help me. So I praised my way through that addiction for 2 weeks. And it took 2 weeks, but I in every second praised God and worshiped him and did not touch all the things that have to do with cigarettes. See, the bondages that we find ourselves in, it's not just one road of bondage. There's all these things that are connected around it. And then sometimes demons come and they're like attaching themselves to that activity because it's negative and it's not a good situation. So not only do you get delivered from the bondage when you come to Christ, but all those things get broken off. So you become different. So rejoicing, praising, and thanksgiving breaks the back of the enemy's power. Did you hear me? Okay. To become sons and daughters of the living God, that is the end result. I'm going to end up in Romans 8, and I'm going to explain a little bit. I have shared some of this at different points, but I just want to pour this into you, and I want you to live there for the next week. Romans 8, I want you to live into that place of understanding that the holy intruder takes a cudgel and smashes the infirmities that are trying to stop you from walking in the power and the anointing of the living God. Yes. Infirmity meaning everything that causes you any kind of consternation in this world. Yes. Spirit, soul, and body. And that is the definition of, I'm going to read the definitions of infirmity. That is the definition, one of the definitions of the Holy Spirit's work, what he was sent to do. He was sent to get you fully sanctified. And that's what we want. The enemy of our souls, he will come and cover us with a cloak of hopelessness and inevitability, deceiving us into believing that we can't progress. We can't get over this one thing. We can't overcome our weaknesses and our infirmities. Liar, liar, pants on fire. We have that holy helper who comes alongside us. That's the parakletos is what it means. He's the one that comes alongside of us. He's not only inside of us, he's our partner. He's right there with us, desiring and speaking into that thing that is causing us consternation and saying no. He's our helper. He's our helper. He's the holy helper. He prays with us, for us, with groanings that can't be uttered. We're groaning also. All creation is groaning for our manifestation as sons and daughters of the living God. We're also groaning because we want that. And we are aware that we're not there yet. We're aware that we're in a struggle. We're aware that we need to put our focus and fix our eyes on Jesus, that he's the author and finisher of faith. We need to stay on the path of righteousness and continue to walk. Set our faces like a flint and say, no, devil. You have no power over me. You're a liar and the father of it. You're defeated. You're under my feet. Jesus already has victory over you. And the end of Romans 8 says, more than a conqueror. That's what he wants us to be. More than a conqueror. And we have to conquer ourselves first. Because if you are not conquered in your flesh, you're not going to hear the Lord. You're not going to be able to discern his direction. You're not going to be able to share. See, Dave was trembling in his flesh. He didn't want to talk to that woman. I've been there. That I can remember like it was yesterday. One of Aaron's, he was in elementary school. One of his teachers, I met him out in this parking lot close by my house, and he was like this. Now, you see, I'm not like that, but he was like that. And I went over, I said, are you okay? Oh, it really hurt my back. And I didn't even think twice. I said, let me pray over you. I just laid hands on him and prayed over him, and then I stressed for 2 days, like, oh, my God, what did you do? What's the matter with you? You know, I went to the school for something and ran into him. He said, I was completely healed. As soon as I walked away from him, I couldn't believe it. My back stopped hurting, and I was able to stand up straight. That was a long time ago, but it happened. I remember. See, God pours these things when I'm talking and sharing with him, and he's giving me these truths. He's reminding me of things that I've done along the way, like even going over to that woman's house. And I don't know why we went over there. She invited us over, and the email was on the Facebook messaging. It ended up dropping because Pastor Phil and Pat couldn't make it. We were trying to find a night. And then I ended up going on it. I don't go on the messenger all the time, but I went on there, and I saw it. It wasn't finished. The Holy Spirit said, go over there and see her. I was like, okay. So I went on and I said, oh, we can come. We can come this night, that night, talk to Phil and Pat. And like that, it went in. Like a month down the road, we ended up going over there. And it was such a beautiful time. Such a beautiful, I can't wait for you to meet her. You'll enjoy her. So, we need someone to champion our cause. If you think that you can overcome some of these things you're struggling with by yourself, you are sadly mistaken. You cannot do it by yourself. That's all that striving and all that flesh, and I'm going to do it, now willpower. Forget that. You need a helper. We need someone to champion our cause. And the Holy Spirit is that someone. So fall forward and accept the Holy Helper. The Holy Helper is beautiful. He is interceding for us. He brings clarity into our being and our purposes. He gets rid of confusion and frees us from the bondage of sin. He is aggressive and he makes intercession. Here's the definition of infirmity. It is infirmity, and the whole night, I think it was last night or the night before, I kept hearing, himself took my infirmities and sicknesses. Himself took my infirmities and my weaknesses. It's in Peter, and it's also in Isaiah 53. Jesus is the one who took all these things that are in the natural realm. But the Holy Spirit is the present person of the Godhead who is here on the earth in us and around us to take care of these things. Infirmity is the infirmity of our human condition. All the infirmities of the flesh faces. Physical, mental, emotional, the human traits and unhealthy habits, wrong behaviors that separate us from our beloved. Everything falls under the title of infirmity. Specifically, our ability to properly convey ourselves to God. Now that may sound a little funny, but it happens to be true. How can you know in your flesh life what you need from God? God, how can you know? You can't. That's why the Holy Spirit is with us. He's there to interpret for us and to groan for us before the throne room for the things that we need. He knows us. Here's a literal definition of infirmity, and I did share this a couple years ago because James Maloney shared these principles and understanding in another book that he had read. The first one I read by him was called Dancing Hand of God, but he said that a literal definition of infirmity is a repeated whipping. You think about a familiar spirit. Okay, I used to smoke. I'll just use that for an example. I mean, it's a million years ago. I can't even think about it anymore. But let's say, okay, I used to smoke. So I'm being walked by somebody, and let's say I'm tempted to have a cigarette. Not happening, but let's just say, okay. Who put that temptation out there? The enemy. Okay, so I have a choice to make because there are things that do tempt me. No, I'm not. No. So then what happens is the enemy comes and he lies to me and says, you wanted that cigarette. You really want to go back and smoke, you wretched sinner. And I'm going to make you have it. I'm going to go have a cigarette. Go ahead. And he keeps whipping me with those lies. Now, first of all, I didn't want to have the cigarette. But see, there's something in my thinking of my old nature, okay, we're talking about our old nature that did engage in that at one point, and he will do that, he will come. That's called the familiar spirit. So you have to take authority over that familiar spirit. You have to say no, but you have to be able to discern it. You can't do it yourself. You have to ask the Holy Spirit of truth, what is going on here? Oh, the enemy is lying to me. That's what's going on here. I didn't want that cigarette in the first place. I just kind of looked at somebody. Matter of fact, now when I see people smoking, and I said that. What are you nuts? What are you doing to yourself? I mean, that's what I think now. When I was bound to it and couldn't stop, it was a whole different story. But the Spirit helps our infirmities. It's a limitation. An infirmity is a limitation placed on us by the enemy of our faith. Lies spoken as truth. Now, if it's true, you need to confess and repent. If the enemy is speaking something and tempting you and you fall prey to the temptation, then you need to immediately confess, repent, and move back into grace. And don't hang out in the valley of guilt and condemnation. Because if you read Romans 8, it starts off with there is therefore now no condemnation for who? For those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. And the Spirit of the law, the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. So when you fall back into a sin, no, you want to fall forward. But if you do, you need to say that scripture. Oh, no. Sin shall no longer have dominion over me. It's Romans 6. No. And you actively choose to engage yourself in the truth, which is that you are set apart, sanctified, meet for the Master's use, and you are not going to engage in that. And Lord, I repent, and I ask your forgiveness. I forgive myself, and I forgive whoever else. Whatever. Just ask repentance and forgive. So, there is an enemy. Romans 8, 26 and 27. Likewise, the Spirit also helps us in our weaknesses and infirmity. For we do not know what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. Now he who searches the hearts is, I believe, the Father. He who searches the hearts is the Father, and he knows what is the mind of the Spirit. Because the Spirit of God is making intercession for us. I cannot tell you how many different interpretations I've seen of this. One interpretation was, he knows the mind of the Spirit, which is the renewed mind of the believer. I don't believe that because, although it sounded good when I was thinking about it, because, again, it's God making an agreement with himself. Just like Abraham, when he made that sacrifice, God put him to sleep. He set up the altar, and he was there to make a sacrifice to God, and he was there to make an agreement, to make a covenant. But that covenant could not be made with man. It had to be made with himself. It had to be made with God. So he put Abraham to sleep, and he made the covenant with himself. This is the same thing. The Father is looking into our hearts. What is this mind of the Spirit about this situation? We can't lose. I mean, really, think about it. We can't lose. And I got so filled with such hope after learning and studying this. And I hope that same hope is being imparted to you. He who searches the heart knows what the mind of the Spirit. And also, if you go into Romans, you can start in 5, but let's say 6, 7, 8. If you go into it, you can see the battle that goes between the flesh and the Spirit. Oh, my God, I ate too much candy again yesterday. Oh, well, what happened? Why? Oh, I don't know. I wasn't thinking. I just went in the cabinet and grabbed a few pieces of candy. I wasn't, the flesh just moving, not being focused on, oh, what is going to be good for me right now in this situation? What do I need? What am I feeling? We've been talking about this for weeks and weeks, getting in touch with what's going on with us. Why are we acting in a particular way? And why are we moving in a particular way? And when you really say, Jesus, help me, or Lord, here it is, and then he shows you who you are, Jonathan had shared this understanding of, like, the Holy Spirit is inside and there's a movie screen that's panoramic and it flashes your whole life, but your whole life is flashed before the Holy Spirit. But see, the Holy Spirit is the one that knows what's going on, and he can change the pictures, right? Here is Norman Grubb touching the invisible. I read his things a million years ago. When Paul said in Romans 8, 26 and 27 that the Spirit is given expressly to guard our praying, for true prayers are God's prayers prayed through us. They issue from God's mind. They are taught us by his Spirit and are prayed in his faith. and thus assured of the answer. I remember when I read that scripture, everything, whatever you ask in my name, I will do. And I'm thinking, oh, I'm praying all these prayers and nothing's happening. Well, was I really praying in God's name? Probably not. You know, you're a new believer. You're just trying out all these things. Now, I'm in a different place. Because if I can hear what God's heart is about a situation, and I pray in agreement with Him, and the Holy Spirit agrees with me, there's such a communion. There's such a intercessory cry that comes out of my heart for that situation, for that soul. I'm praying for my older sister who is being tormented. She's tormented by the enemy, and she's given in place. So do I just leave her in that state? No. I'm praying for God to heal her mind. I'm praying for God to cover her entire scalp with His blood. This whole thing that she has come into in her imagination, I will not share it. It's really brutal. But I'm praying for the cloud of glory over her head. I'm praying for God to show. And then I say to the Lord, I've been praying for her for months and months and months. What do you want me to do? He said, no, I don't want you to do anything. I just want you to pray. So it's not for me to do anything. It's not for me to call her or go there or do it. Although I would love to do that. But it's not what I'm supposed to do. And that's what we have to do. We have to ask the Holy Spirit, what am I supposed to do? Because then I can rest. Even though she's in a horrible place, I can rest knowing that I'm doing what God has instructed me to do, which is to pray for her and fast and trust God. The end of Romans 8, beginning of James 1, the Holy Helper has the ability to pray for us with groanings that cannot be uttered to the Father of lights, in whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning, and bring the petitions of our hearts before the throne, knowing just what we need. He is the helper who comes alongside to take hold together with us against our infirmity, adding His strength to the battle. The Spirit's desire is to free us from our weaknesses, and He refuses to let go. We are unable to overcome in our own strength. The Holy Spirit is a helper, again, who comes alongside and frees us from our infirmity so that we may exhibit and display the living Jesus shining through us. Here's an example Charles Spurgeon wrote of the Holy Spirit coming alongside is as with a son who cannot bend the archer's bow. His father comes alongside him and adds his strength to bend the bow, pulling and stretching it back. And then the son's thinking, how did this get so easy? Well, because the father has his hand on the bow. And he adds his strength to the bow. The arrow then hits the mark, and the son marvels that it was so effortless. That's us relying on the Spirit of God. He's a strengthener. He walks alongside us to encourage, uplift, inspire, enrich, improve, and hearten. He is living inside our very bodies as believers within our spirits. He's the dove. He's also the mighty rushing wind. A couple of years ago, the Lord started to speak to me about ascension. I did share it a few times, but I didn't totally understand what He was trying to say. I just said, okay, I'm ascending. I'm ascending. Okay. But the point is that we are the ascended sons and daughters of the living God. We're not just here on this earth. We're in the spirit realm. If you read the book of Ephesians and really read it and apply it to your life, walk, sit, stand, it talks about us being seated in heavenly places. We are seated. That is our position in the heavenly realm. We are seated in heavenly places. Jesus ascended, and this is what He just explained to me. Jesus ascended, and He's sitting down at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. He is now fully, once again, His divinity. He is the Son of God, fully. When He came on the earth, He gave up His divinity. It was there, but He did not actively engage in it. He was the Son of Man. He was a human being on the earth, and He taught us through His life how to overcome on this earth. Now He is up there. He's fully the Son of Man. He's also fully the Son of God. So that ascended position is ours. That is ascension, sons and daughters. That's what He wants us to stand in and walk in. Again, this is not something that we can do This is something that's done unto us by the Holy Spirit himself. But if you say no, he's not going to do it. I'm just telling you, if you say no, he's going to back away. So no matter how you're feeling, no matter what you're going through, no matter what you're struggling with, say yes. I remember when I got ordained, Nancy Taylor Warner bent over me and whispered in my ear, and she said, you know, the things that God speaks to you from another's mouth stays in your spirit. She said, whatever he asks you to do, just say yes. So I have had the privilege right now in this last few weeks. She sent me a private prayer request, asked me to pray specifically. I brought it before my husband. The two of us have been praying. God gave me a very specific word for her, which I was able to share. And it was absolutely the Lord. Had such a witness in her spirit. It was specific. So here it is, many years later, this woman who has blessed my socks off more times than I could even imagine and share with you, I am now able to bless her in such a way because I've come unto a place, I've allowed the God to do unto me, and you have to say yes and let him do it unto you. Pastor Roy, I'm just telling you this because when you're going to see it. He has been called to the ministry with the fruit of faith, healing, and miracles. The gifts, as they go around, all nine of them, there's a group of them, says faith, healing, and miracles. When we went to Christ for the Nations, he stood in front of Pastor Gary, who's now at Smithtown. We prayed him in there, but this was before he was there. He was the president, whatever, a dean of something at Christ for the Nations. He walked into his office and Gary was sobbing hysterically. He had to run into the bathroom, kept coming back, tried to talk, couldn't talk, ran back, came back again, just couldn't. And he looked at my husband and said, have you been praying to be a man of faith? And my husband said, yes. So he prophesied. You see, I believe in prophecy. He prophesied over him that he was going to walk in faith, healing, and miracles. That's only one of the prophecies of the words that God has spoken over my husband. And over the last couple of weeks, I have seen him in that place. I didn't really tell him this yet, but I'm telling you now. I did tell him, and so I said, this is what you were called to. I'm not asking for it. I said, it doesn't matter what you're asking for. This is your destiny. So this is his destiny. And I will tell you from the first time that I met him as we walked in so many ways, God continued to encourage me to stand in faith and pray over him and stand with him because God has a very specific destiny for my husband. And the same thing with those that you love, your husbands and your wives and your children and your grandchildren. There's a destiny that God has, your friends, your family. God has a destiny for each one of them. And you are the one that is to pray and bring that person before the kingdom in the presence of the king. So God can manifest himself. It's going to happen. I'm telling you, it's going to happen. We are to become the ascended sons and daughters of the living God, changing the atmosphere, bringing his presence wherever we go, filling the world we live in with hope and love that we might know him. So give the Holy Spirit permission and he will do the rest. Just merge and yield to him. 2 Corinthians 4:7, but we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We, these earthen vessels, are called by God to overcome. So fix your eyes on Jesus, the author and finisher of your faith, who for the joy that was set before him, despising the shame, he overcame. God delights in doing the impossible with nothing. And nothing is impossible for him. So fall forward and worship the living, breathing Jesus, the God of all flesh. Fall forward and worship God. Fall forward and yield to the Holy Helper. So that's the challenge. I do want to end by just reading Romans 8. And I want you to consider that at the end of this, the end of this chapter, there's a whole portion about the Holy Spirit and his work. There's a whole portion about the Father God and his work. And there's a whole portion about Jesus Christ and his work. And I will give Sean the credit because I didn't see that and he saw it. And I went back and read it. I said, oh, that's really good. But I'm not going to teach on that because I don't have the time today. But it's very good. Okay, I'm going to start with Romans 8:19. I'm reading this in the New King James. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. Creation being all of nature. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, but we also who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body, which I believe is going to happen on this earth as well as when we die. Why would he say it? Deliverance from sensuality and the grave, which will reveal our adoption, our manifestation as God's son. If it was going to happen after we died, then we wouldn't be delivered from sin and the grave. For we were saved in hope. In this hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. You go back to that scripture in Peter with perseverance and patience. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses. We do not know what prayer to offer, nor how to offer it worthily as we ought. But the Spirit himself goes to meet our supplication and pleads in our behalf with unspeakable yearnings and groanings too deep for utterance. Now he who searches the hearts of men knows what it is in the mind of the Holy Spirit, what his intention is, because the Spirit intercedes and pleads before God in behalf of the saints, according to and in harmony with God's will. We can be free of fear, whatever we're going through, knowing that God has our back. We are assured and know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. Not everyone. Those who love God and are the called according to his purpose. Our desire, our job is to say, God, who are you calling today? Who do you want me to talk to? That was one of the things that we shared with my old friend, that she and her husband are called for this purpose, same purpose that we are moving in at RCF. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. We want to be the brothers and sisters of Christ, molded into his image, and share inwardly his likeness. Moreover, he whom he predestined, these he also called, and whom he called, he also justified, and whom he justified, these he also glorified. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who should bring a charge against God's elect? Who? No one. No. It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? It's Christ who died and was risen. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Tribulation, distress, persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. Yet in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. And then it goes on to say, nothing can separate us from the Lord. 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 We've been singing that song, I Am, and Lord Come, for at least 4 or 5 weeks now. And there's a specific reason, because I Am is speaking and declaring into every one of our situations what He is, who He is, what He gives us, what He presents for us before the throne room, what He has won for us. He is the I Am. He is in the midst. He's present. And Lord, come again. Wherever we are, whatever we're doing, whatever is going on, Lord, come. Open our eyes, let the eyes of our understanding be enlightened, that we may see what You're doing. Here, it may be the smallest little bit of nothing. I mean, God helps me cook. Whatever it is, it helps me clean. He's right there with me. And He is the one who comes alongside. He is the Parakletos. He's my friend. And He's your friend. And He loves me. And He loves you. Every time I look at the mirror, I see, you are beautiful. And my daughter put on my mirror. And it makes me laugh. Sometimes like, I don't look too beautiful. But it reminds me that God loves me and thinks I'm beautiful. That's where it goes. Pastor Roy, I can remember him standing and looking in the mirror and say, you need to look in the mirror and say, we were over in Smithtown over there. I don't know what he said to say. I'm a child of God. What did you say? I am the beloved of God. You are the beloved of God. You are the beloved of God. Every one of you is the beloved of God. So let's pray. Lord, I thank You that You challenge me with this verse and these messages that You put on my heart and these verses that I've shared. The gauntlet has been set and thrown down. We are declaring that the enemy has no power over us. We are the sons and daughters, the ascended sons and daughters of a living God, and we are desiring to stay on that narrow way, that narrow path, and follow You and obey You. I welcome You, Holy Spirit, into every heart, every life today that's here. Those that have not made it today, we also bless them, all the members of RCF, all the things that they're experiencing in their own lives. I ask You to be there to speak into their hearts that they are the beloved. In Jesus' name. Amen.